My name is Lisa, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. I wonder if I can take this up. Okay, good. I want to be able to move around if I feel like it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me say that I want to thank Kelly for inviting me here to share my experience, strength, and hope. When she called me on the phone, she said that, I remember you, or do you know me? And I was just thinking, no, I don't know you. So right off, I was thinking she invited the wrong person, right? And but she says, no, this is what she said just a few minutes ago, that it's a God thing. You know, she picked up some phone numbers, she reached out, and everything will be okay. It's a God thing. So I just want to say thank you for inviting me out. So the other thing I want to say is I am hella nervous. I am so nervous, and I know that I'm probably not the only one, but I do want to say this. Wednesday, I got so nervous that I thought to myself, I don't think I can go. I, you know what? As a matter of fact, I am canceling. I am not going to go because I am so nervous. And what it was fear. It was fear. And I was going to allow fear to keep me from sharing with you today. But you know what? And I'm going to put this back here. What I've learned is that courage is moving past or walking in spite of fear. And so I said, I don't want to cancel out. You know, and let me tell you what I've learned to do over the years. I've learned to go into my home group and share exactly where I was. And it didn't matter if I was humiliated or I felt embarrassed, I felt ashamed. It didn't sound like literature. It didn't sound like your message. What I've learned to do is go in there and be completely honest and share about what's going on with me. And so I had an opportunity to share in my group, and I said, you know what, I'm nervous as heck. I don't want to share. I don't want to go to Houston. I'm just feeling like this, you know? And what it was fear. That's all it was fear, you know? And how dare I, as much as Narcotics Anonymous has given me, to not be able to go back and give just a little bit. Because Narcotics Anonymous doesn't need me. I need Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and you know what? I wouldn't have the life that I have if it hadn't been for the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, so I'm grateful that I was able to overcome that fear and decide to grow instead. So my topic is self-acceptance. You know, and self-acceptance. That's everybody. Everybody has some experience with self-acceptance, right? Especially if you've gotten yourself in the step writing process. You have some experience with self-acceptance. When we first come into the fellowship, though, you know, that's the first thing that I have to get over is that I'm an addict. I got to accept that, man, that drugs have won. I've lost. I've lost the fight. I can't control my using no matter what. I'm powerless over the disease of addiction. So the first thing that I really had to accept was that I'm an addict. And, you know, the topic is self-acceptance. So let me let you know this, that, you know, like I didn't just grow up wanting to be an addict. That wasn't my aspiration, that I'm going to be an addict, you know. I grew up, and in my family, I was the smart person. So I thought that I was going to be a doctor. You know, my family, they thought that I was going to be a doctor, you know. No, I'm not a doctor. I'm a recovering addict. I suffer from the disease of addiction. But my family thought that I was going to be a doctor, you know, and so even throughout the process of recovery, I have to keep in mind that I can't intellectualize my way through this thing. You know, even coming up here to share, I thought that I was, let me say this, sharing anywhere, I think that I'm supposed to be taking notes and studying like I'm taking a test. But people don't want to hear from your head. They want to hear from your heart, heart to heart. Heart is what touches the spirit. Exactly. And so I've got to say that I didn't really come up here. I've got my weapons here. You need your weapons. But I didn't come here prepared with a speech. So I'm just going to do the best that I can do, okay? So my home group is Miracles and Solutions in Austin, Texas. So I've got 14 years clean. I've been doing this for 14 years. I sponsor ladies in the program. I have a sponsor. And right off the bat, I want to just be transparent with you. The sponsor who sponsored me right now, and I understand this is like a women's unity, you know, but the sponsor that sponsors me right now just happens to be a male. And there's controversy about that in the fellowship, right? And I'm not promoting a newcomer to let a male sponsor you. I really believe you should get some experience with staying clean. You should get some experience with the step writing process. And I just don't think just right out the gate you should be with a male sponsor, especially if there's attraction on either side. And not to mention, I'm a married woman. And so the first thing that I had to do was I actually ran this across with my husband to find out what do you think about this. So my sponsor is a male, he's been sponsoring me for the last couple of years, and I appreciate everything that he gives me. I need to say that. But I am really for women's unity and for sticking together as women. I am for that, and I have all ladies as my sponsees, and so which they should be here shortly. But self-acceptance. The first thing I had to do was like really accept the fact that I am an addict, that I am an addict. And that was a lot to accept. It really wasn't until I got into the step writing process in step one that I understood just how powerless I was over the disease of addiction. And that I really don't have any power to say no, even when I don't want to, even when I'm suffering through the consequences of using. I think I just need to relax. I'm just so nervous. I feel like I'm all over the place. Let me just take a moment. I want to thank my sister for coming up here with me. So this is what I didn't want to do. But I want to thank my sister for coming up here with me. I'm the oldest of four children, and my sister really hasn't heard my story. So I guess I'm having a little fear up here because I feel like I want to guard against what I say. Yeah. And I've been doing this for 14 years. When I was younger, and this is such a real topic for me. As you can see, I'm dressed in my tennis shoes and I've got my little sweatsuit on, and we're talking about self-acceptance. So, and I didn't really want to share this either. Damn. But I really didn't get the self-acceptance that I needed as a daughter growing up. I know my mother did the best she could, but she really didn't give me that ability to like really accept myself or really pour into me. And so I've got my sweatsuit on, and when people first meet me, what I really like to show them is the girly girl in me. Like I like to have my shoes and dressed up and my earrings and my you know, all my girly stuff on. But I really wanted to be comfortable today, and the reason I say that is because I've got muscles. Right? And as a child growing up, I was kind of built like my father, more muscular. And so my mother would make fun of that in a way. And it didn't allow me to grow as a confident human being. It really didn't. And so thank you so much. And so what I realized today is that when I present myself to people for the very first time, I really want them to see that girly girl in me, because that's still a part of me that I'm trying to accept. that this is who I am, this is how I'm built, this is how I'm made, and there's nothing wrong with the way I'm made. This is absolutely okay, right? So self-acceptance is like huge. And I don't believe that you fully it's just I'm going to accept myself and now I accept myself fully. I believe it's a process. I really believe that it's a lifelong process because we experience different things as we keep staying clean, right? And so today I decided to grow instead of letting fear take control. In our fourth step, there's a place in there where it talks about a swamp full of fear. And as addicts, we can fear just about anything. Fear of success, fear of failure, fear of not having enough, fear of that, of being it being taken away from us. So much fear. And so that's a place that I'm always having to take a look at, is that fear, and having to move past fear so that I can grow. So today I decided I'm going to grow instead of allowing fear to overtake me. I'm in a six-step process, and I want to thank thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to get up here, because it's been a minute since I've actually picked up my step work. And you know, I can attribute it to life and work and home and sponsorship and being the treasurer. I can attribute it to so many things. But the fact of the matter is that I grow when I'm writing about me and when I'm getting to look at me. And so I haven't been writing on myself in a little while, and it's really time for me to pick up the pen and start writing. So this opportunity, this speaking engagement gave me the opportunity to kind of open up my book, you know, and look at some things. There's a place that I read in the step writing guide. By the way, self-acceptance is a spiritual principle. Did y'all know that? In the sixth step, we focus on commitment, perseverance, willingness, faith, trust, and self-acceptance. With words like entirely and all playing such a prominent role in this step, it's easy to become overly self-critical and perfectionistic. I don't know about y'all, but I have operated on some perfectionistic. And let me tell you, it's not a good place to be. You place high expectations on yourself and you also place them on others. It says that we need to remember that even though our willingness must be complete, we're not going to become perfect. Not today, not ever. When we act out on a defect against our will, we need to practice the principle of self-acceptance. We need to accept that while we're still capable of acting out, we're also still willing to change. And with that acknowledgement, we renew our commitment to be changed. I'm grateful for the literature because when I fall short, it's easy to get into some self-pity or to beat myself up. And that's not what I need to do. I don't need to pick up the bat and beat myself up. What it says here is I need to accept the fact that while we're still capable of acting out, we're also still willing to change and then renew my commitment to change. Self-pity robs us of all of our positive energy. So I don't have to live in self-pity. One of the questions says is, do I accept myself today? What do I like about myself? What has changed since I've been working the steps? So I believe in the step working process. I really do. I just need to get back in it. operating in my character defects. That's huge. Let me tell you this story. One of my first cousins is she's planning a wedding. And so I found myself on social media, kicking and laughing and liking all her pictures and haunting her down and really acting out, trying to get an invitation to this wedding. And I was doing everything I could to get an invitation to this wedding. Let me tell you what this says here in the step working guide here. It says that our character defects are indicators of our basic nature. We are likely to find that we have the same basic nature as anyone else. We have needs and we try to get them met. For instance, we need love. How we go about getting love is where our defects come into play. If we lie, cheat, or harm others and degrade ourselves to get love, we are acting out on defects. So when I was trying to get that invitation to that wedding by not being myself, by ha-haing and kicking and doing everything I could to stay in her good graces, that was acting out on my defects. That was manipulation. And so I realized what I was doing and I had to stop doing it. Like, I don't want to get out of myself and manipulate. The same things we did out there, they don't work in here, you know? And so I stopped doing that. It took about a couple of months of not acting out on that behavior. And I got to tell you, I got that invitation to that wedding. I'm so excited. But what I'm talking about is defects of character, you know, and where my character ends and my defects begin, you know, and it does take understanding that I'm an addict first. Because if I think about all the things that I did in my active addiction, how can you ask me to accept myself? That was a whole lot of things that I did that went against who I am and what I believe in. But I did them because I didn't have any power over the disease of addiction. But once I get here and I get connected to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, then I have some power. In and of myself, I don't have any power. So I gotta stay connected to the Fellowship. I gotta stay connected to the people in Narcotics Anonymous. I gotta stay connected to my sponsor. I gotta go to meetings. I gotta give back. I gotta give, be of service. And selfless service is what combats selflessness, that self-centeredness, which is at the core of our disease. So I'm really grateful to be able to give back in some shape, form, or fashion for what is all that has been given to me. You know, in active addiction, I have a son, he's 22 now, but in active addiction, you know, I wasn't a good mother. And it's really important to say that. I don't want to give you some half-truth and say, I did the best I could, and I know I did, I gave him what I could, but I know that I wasn't a good mother. When my son was 8 years old, I would expect my sister to take him to school. I expected my sister to take him to school every single day, every day, and I didn't think it was my responsibility to get him there, and I'm his mother. It was things like that that, you know, I had to work through some steps and go work with the sponsor so that I could get past those things. Because the disease of addiction does not only affect me, but it affects people around me, people that I was supposed to be responsible for. And I want to say this as mothers, it is so critical that we get with another woman and allow someone to love on us. There are so many things that we have to go through as mothers. So many things that we have to overcome when we get to the rooms. Some of us come in here and we've lost our children. We've lost our children. We have had to sell our bodies, sell our souls to feed our habit. And none of us are unique. We've all did something that we're not proud of. But when we come in here, we learn that we're not just bad people, that we don't have a moral dilemma, that we suffer from a disease that's out to kill us. So I'm just grateful that I have a sponsor that tells me the truth, but I also have women in my life that also tell me the truth. I've surrounded myself around women, and I immerse myself. I have no... I try not to be in any cliques or any clubs. I try not to just get with one particular people or one particular party so that I can be available to anybody who needs the help. I don't want to cut myself off and just, I just hang with these people over here and I associate myself with these people over here and I don't fool with those people over there. I love being a part of the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, which is made up of many people. And I believe in uplifting the women. I believe in not tearing down. And I really want to say this for a moment. We got to be careful as women in Narcotics Anonymous that we need to work on ourselves and we have to get rid of those things inside of us that make us ornery, envious, jealous of other women. We have to work on these things so that we are able to freely love the next woman, no matter what she has, no matter how she looks, no matter who she is. So the six step stances, our goal is to raise our awareness of our character defects so that we become entirely ready to have them removed, not to analyze their origin or indulge in a bout of self-absorption. Our character defects are indicators of our basic nature. And that's important. That's why I read that again. Our character defects are indicators of our basic nature. The disease of addiction didn't allow me to see who I truly am. It turned me into something and somebody that I did not want to be. With our sponsor's help, we need to list each defect we have. And what I love about Narcotics Anonymous is they don't just tell you to practice self-acceptance. They give you a guide and a path to find self-acceptance. So it says here that with our sponsor's help, we need to list each defect we have, describe the ways in which we act on it, how it affects our lives, and more importantly, how we feel when we're practicing it. And when I go back to thinking about that cousin, I was looking for that invitation, how that made me feel, kikiing and kakaing and trying to get an invitation. I felt less than. I didn't like what was going on the inside of me. I felt like I was settling. And I don't have to do anything outside of me for me to be enough. I'm enough. Self-acceptance is something that I'm still learning how to do. I'm still learning how to accept myself on a deeper level. Because after accepting the fact that I'm an addict and I suffer from the disease of addiction, there's some other things that I have to do after that. And I realize that I am powerless over this disease. But when I make it here and when I use the fellowship, practice the spiritual principles, I have some power. I have some power. My home group is Miracles and Solutions in Austin, Texas, and I see some of the home group members here, and it's so good to see you guys. I didn't even tell anyone that I was going to come and share. I really didn't. And I only mentioned it when I shared openly about how much I was in fear about sharing. So no one really knew, it feels good to see somebody from my home group here, because let me say this. Sharing, this right here is not my strong point. Now, I know my sister said you need to say the opposite of that. But the truth is, this is not one of my strong points. My strong point is sponsorship, being of service, one-on-one. Getting up here in front of everyone is not my strong point. There are so many dynamic speakers. I just heard a whole lot of them at my home group last weekend, and I don't feel like I'm not one of them. But what I do have is a message of Narcotics Anonymous that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and that's using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And with self-acceptance, that's what I'm trying to do, is always find a new way to live. I want to share this with you guys. I am a personal trainer, okay? And I'm a personal trainer, and one of the things that I do know about myself, and we somebody can probably identify with this as well, as is that, you know, that when I was using, it was I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. And it was always about self-gratification and instant gratification, right? So now that God has jokes. And so for me to be, you know, I don't know about you, but as a woman, I'm always concerned about my weight. I'm always concerned about eating right, eating healthy, calories, losing weight, this and that. And you know what? Let me tell you, I didn't survive the disease of addiction and using to come into Narcotics Anonymous and die of hypertension, die of high blood pressure or diabetes. I didn't come in here to do that. And I don't want to step on any toes. I'm not looking at anybody. But what I know is that I've got a lot to live for. We have a lot to live for. We've been blessed to have two lives. We survived everything in active addiction, and we made it here. And there's a few things that we have to do to stay here. And I don't want to, I have to always monitor my desires and my wants. Because the body wants what the body wants, you know? But the problem is I don't like the results. I want to eat cookies, but I don't like the result of how it looks on me when I eat cookies. I like sweets, but I don't like the results that I feel when I eat sweets. So what I've learned about me is that I want the rewards, but I don't always want to do the work. And if I start something, I can get halfway in it, but if I'm not seeing the reward soon enough, I'm ready to jump ship. I'm ready to quit. But I picked up some tools along the way. I know that I can start a thing and I can finish a thing. I've worked all 12 steps, so I know I can start from the beginning and I can work my way all the way to the end. So I know if I tell myself I'm going to start, I'm going to eliminate sugar, or I'm going to cut down on this, I know I can start doing that and I can finish doing that. I don't have to stop because the going gets rough or because I want something and I'm going to go have what I want. If you know, the disease of addiction, we in our literature talks about committing suicide. It's a slow process of committing suicide. But that's the same thing when I put unhealthy things in my body. It's a slow process of committing suicide. And I don't want to beat anybody up or sound too down, but I just want to talk about how serious health is. And how I can't allow what I want to be more important than what's good for me and what I need. And so I say God has jokes, because how in the heck am I I'm a certified personal trainer when these things go on in my head? But I'm clear, I'm an addict. I'm a recovering addict. And so I just want you to, just like these things don't come easy for some of us, it doesn't come easy for me. I've got to work all the time, you know, and I've got to curb the things that I want all the time. And I got to be willing to put the work in, you know? So I know I've got 4 minutes or so left. 10 minutes, okay. All right, well, I'm going to preach a little bit more about health then. No, I'm just joking. No, but I seriously want to say, I really want to say this about self-acceptance. It's tough for me to accept who I am when I'm not exactly happy with who I am. I don't want to accept that thing. We do have a way out, because self-acceptance is accepting all of me. The good, the bad, the indifference, the thing that, you know, all of me. And so when I was ready to not come here today and get out of coming here today, that was a part of my defects ready to come out about that not being able to practice commitment. I made a commitment and I needed to follow through with that commitment. And I say that just the same way as if I'm making a commitment that I'm going to cut back on this or cut back on that, that I can do that. No is no. And I can follow through with what I say that I'm going to do for myself. I'll say this and then I'll take my seat, because in active addiction, we do anything that it takes for us to get that one more, right? And so in the process of that, some of us have committed, we've broken laws. Some of us have abandoned our families, our children, whatever it may be. For me, and I just want to be completely honest, for me, I picked up a felony when I was in active addiction, right? And so when I finally made it to the rooms, And I was clean, and I started working on me, and I started doing the work to stay here. And in the process, I went back to school. So I got my bachelor's degree, and I kept going, and then I got my master's degree. And what I've learned in this process is that things don't sustain us. It's not the car or the money or the husband or the degree or education. Those things are not what sustain us. This is a spiritual program. And my higher power is in charge. And I need to say that when I started the process of looking for a job, it was tough. I kept getting the door slammed on me with that felony. They didn't give a damn about a degree. So what I found out is that I had to accept me. I had to accept my past, because other people, it's not a guarantee that other people will accept me. And that is something, I'm so clear about that. I'm an addict, but I'm a recovering addict. I'm not the same woman that I was when I committed that felony. I'm not the same woman as when I came in here 14 years ago. But needless to say, the doors kept closing. And man, when I tell you, that took me through a process, because I was counting on my degrees to open the door. But what I should have been counting on was the God of my understanding to open those doors. And I gotta tell you, that sometimes God's path doesn't look like our path. It sometimes it looks different, and I thought it looked like this over here in the corporate world, but it didn't look like that over there. It looked like over here where I was a personal trainer. So what I get to do today is I get to use my degree and my education along with my personal training. And I get to uplift people and make people feel good about themselves and pour into women, because I really like to train women. And so I get to pour into women and help build their self-esteem and help build their self-image and let them know that they can do this and that they are enough. And man, I'm so grateful. It is so rewarding. And I always thought that I needed to make the money over here with a master's degree. But who would have thought that the things that I get over on this side, the peace, the good feelings, that those are rewards also. So I'm grateful that God had a chosen path for me. And I was so afraid to go down this path over here. I was so afraid. But I'm so grateful that desperation, desperation is a gift. Because it was at the end of the road where I realized that I could do this. So we have one promise, freedom from active addiction, but many blessings we get in Narcotics Anonymous, many blessings. I saw my old sponsor walk in. I love you too. And when I share it with you, man, it's so funny, I haven't shared about this. I was talking to my sister about this when I drove up. And I haven't talked about this in so long. I'm not even sure if I can recall saying it out loud. But I want to thank Man, sponsorship is a beautiful thing. Get you a sponsor. Pick up that phone. Use that sponsor. Call that sponsor. Let that sponsor know who you are so that they can help you. That phone may be heavy, but pick that phone up. That sponsor wants to hear from you. And so she worked with me through my mother issues. Thank you. I wouldn't be able to accept who I am today. This is the body that God gave me. This is how I look. These are my muscles, and I fully embrace these muscles. I want to say this because I may not be the most profound speaker, but I want to say this. What's important is that we come up here and we speak from the heart. It's not a show. And I say that because let me read this. In our disease, we are dealing with a destructive, violent power greater than ourselves that can lead to relapse. This is something that we have to take serious. It also says that we can never fully recover, no matter how long we stay clean. Complacency is the enemy of members with substantial clean time. So just because I have 14 years doesn't mean that I can't get high. Just because I have 20 years doesn't mean that I'm cut off and now I'm okay. And I have to be careful when I want to put meetings on the back burner. Because now God has blessed me with a life now. I don't have to make as many meetings. Netflix looks good on TV. You know what I'm saying? You know, when we first get in here, we learn the basics. That we don't base our life around, we don't base recovery around our life, but we base our life around recovery. I must always remember that staying clean must come first. And if I'm going to stay clean, I got to stay connected to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Because it never fails. We'll be looking around for so-and-so and so-and-so, and you ain't seen so-and-so, so-and-so in a long time, and you come up and find out so-and-so, so-and-so done used. Whether I have 14, 16, 20, 21 years, I am an addict, and I can never fully recover from the disease of addiction. And that's not a death sentence for me today. I don't dread going to meetings. I don't dread being a recovering addict. I don't dread everything that is associated with staying clean anymore. There's a few things I have to do, and I get to keep my life. That's a hell of a trade-off. Go to a few meetings. Call your sponsor. Read the literature. You get to stay clean. And today, I'm not willing to go back out there. I'm not willing to give up anything that God has blessed me with today to go back out there. And it sounds like a cliche, but really, my worst day in here is really still better than my best day out there. It really is. I've learned about myself. I've learned about other people. I've learned so much about relationships. And I'm not even going to go into there. I'm just going to finish with this. I love this. And if you know it, say it with me. When at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as human beings, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? We can go on to the bitter end. Oh, what is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for letting me share.